The collect of the feast of Saint Joachim, O God, who of all thy saints did choose blessed Joachim to be father to the mother of thy Son, grant, we beseech thee, that we who keep his feast day may ever experience his patronage through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday we honored our true Judith, a woman blessed above all of the women of the earth, who cut off the head of the prince of our enemies, Mary, the Mother of God. And today we honor the father of the mother of God's Son. The church does this to associate the father in the glories of his daughter. So you see, it's a family feast, and we often have them in the Catholic faith. It is what the Marxist theorists would dismiss as something to do with the nuclear family, which they are striving mightily to destroy. Mary, a woman who, as a woman, did the work that only she could do, and was so blessed with success, like Judith of old. And a man, a father, who receives the honorary and not shameful title of patriarch, not only for his daughter, but because of his own life and virtues, he did his duty, which is all that a man could do. Imagine dismissing the nature of men and of women, their differences created by God, their very definition, as something fluid, subjective, as the Christian Scientist used to say about getting sick, thinking makes it so. I wonder what they're doing for the coronavirus and if they have to wear masks. Well, this is one of the doctrines, this gender fluidity, this opposition to the nuclear family, imposed on us by the revolution. But if you seek its source, you will finally see Satan, prince of our enemies and prince of this world. How does it work? Let's talk about the revolution and its stages, its goals this Sunday morning. It's a twofold one. First of all, the revolution proposes a religion replacement, really. The false religions in this country, think of classic American Protestantism and Novus Ordo Catholicism, are both of them the fruit of demon-inspired revolutions. That does not mean that those who practice them sincerely were demonic, not in any sense of the word, but they were deceived in the matter of religion. 500 years ago was the revolution of the Reformation, so-called, and 50 years ago, the revolution of Vatican II and its reforms, and now they have run out of steam. But they've done their work. A whole generation, however, is left hungry for the things of the Spirit. Like wandering around when you're hungry and you don't know what you're hungry for or even why you're hungry, and probably you need to drink some water. They're left with vague ideas, truth that's felt but never been explained to them, spiritual needs, because man was born, was created for God. And the voice of God being stilled, it is the ape of God who steps forward and speaks up and slyly suggests his religion replacement of the day. So you see it, don't you? We have processions, they have marches. And kneeling, that's what we Catholics do. But they got that one from us. Candles, candlelit demonstrations, nothing more popular. And then the rituals, the locked arms, the ritual chants repeated again and again like some Hail Mary out of hell, a blasphemy. All of this is some effort to satisfy an intense spiritual hunger, and there is no one to break bread unto them. But first came, after World War II, the 1950s, through the Protestants, what they called the social gospel, which replaced Christ's gospel in all the different denominations, and then finally in the 1960s in the Novus Ordo Church. And it has its own list of sins to replace the Ten Commandments and to justify the destruction of cities, our country, and indeed all of society. So, for example, for sin, original or actual, they propose seriously white guilt, which is, unlike sin, never to be washed away, forgiven, or effaced, regardless of how sincerely one may confess it and make a purpose of amendment. No, once committed, you are condemned, as heretics in the early centuries held about Christians who committed a mortal sin, just one, they could never be forgiven during their lives. Shunned they are to be. The moderns would call that cancel culture. It's their version of excommunication. So you see, all of this, really, the revolution is a modern religious cult, which is anti-religious, but it has its preachers and its priests and its missionaries and its theology. And where does it come from? It comes from the universities. It comes from the intellectuals. It comes from the young students. You see that in the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, China 1949, and it starts out very respectfully and moderately. They had a Women's Day march, for example, in Moscow. What could be wrong with that? Well, some things probably would be. But it was a plea for openness, good sense in government, freedom. And then it turns authoritarian, and it turns dictatorial, and finally, they turn to totalitarianism. What does that word mean, to be totalitarian? Its goal is to govern not just on the outside, not just society or the economy, politics, education. It is to govern what you can think and what you cannot think. That's the goal, to make you to love Big Brother and to believe anew each fresh dogma proposed each new day. You see it, we're in the training sessions now with coronavirus, the masks, and all of the rest, and all of their obvious contradictions that nobody talks about, not anymore. So they're not just denying yesterday's truths, but the idea is to forget they even existed. The perfect cancel culture down the memory hole, ignoring any possible logical opposition. No, because the point is, you don't think anymore. You emote and you love the fearless leader. They say that many Russians getting off the train in Siberia to enter the gulag really thought they were bad people, that they had failed the revolution. That is to say, those who were not killed outright. St. Joachim, he was in his day, you know, a victim of this cancel culture, the old form of shunning. We know what we know of him and St. Anne chiefly through St. John Damascene. They were childless, this couple, And for the Jews, not to have children, they were very carnal-minded, was a sign of living a sinful life and a shame, a terrible shame. Almighty God, when he sent his son, abolished those ideas. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. But they thought that way, the Jews did. And so when it was his turn, he was a priest to offer sacrifice in the temple, he was sent away in shame. He was canceled, they would say today. He and St. Anne were sinless, of course, a very virtuous married couple. Theirs was a charitable life. They were well-to-do, but they lived modestly. One-third of their income was for their needs, and one-third for the worship of God in the temple, and one-third for the poor. Of course, he didn't have income tax back then. They prayed. They suffered. Their prayer was heard. And their child, in their old age, was the Immaculate Conception. Thus, Joachim is most blessed as a father. So see how it works now. Fatherhood is most attacked, even though you'd be hard put to find very many examples of it anymore in modern society. C.S. Lewis, in that interesting book, The Screwtape Letters, writes about conversations between an astute old devil he calls Uncle Screwtape and his nephew, whom he's training how to be a proper devil. And the old devil says, "The use of fashion in thought is to distract the attention of men from the real dangers." And to fashion, we could add, an imitation or a replacement religion. And so on the one hand, they condemn as wicked anything which is patriarchal, society based around families and fatherhood. It's a great evil. And the statues of the fathers must come down to Columbus and Washington, and Father Junipero Serra, and even some black figures were not spared. What was their evil? Patriarchy. So one author writes, look at it, a nation of lost and fatherless boys and drifting young men is terrified that we have too much patriarchy. Enough, that's enough, says one author, to convince you all over again of the existence of demons. Man alone could never be so stupid as to fear that fathers have too much authority today. How long has it been since that was true? When children, by the tens of millions, those who are allowed to live, who are not pre-slain in the womb, when children in their tens of millions grow up without any father at all, only the prince of our enemies could explain it, but he's not above using it for his advantage. So, for patriarchy, we have instead the government-issued replacement paternalism. It's the classic liberal shell game. Watch, and you still won't realize how they managed to switch it. Check out a quote I've put in the bulletin today. It was cited by the CMRI publication Reign of Mary. It's a statement from the American bishops in the 1920s, back when they were actually bishops and they were really Americans. They warned their faithful that as a result of World War I, the war that was supposed to make the world safe for democracy, that wicked war brought about, they say, extreme government bureaucracy, red tape and waste, the proliferation of politicians, God deliver us, with graft and theft, and the eventual Sovietization of our government, predicted by the American bishops in the 1920s. That's the fruit of paternalism. So many evils, and yet such saints, such examples. Where sin abounded, said the apostle, grace did more abound. The answer is achingly simple, yet supremely difficult. Let women be women. Imitate the woman of all women blessed, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. And men, well, be men. God became a man. Jesus Christ, imitate him. And he has a father on earth, Saint Joseph. And he has a grandfather, Saint Joachim. What would be the first step for all of this, do you think? Try to escape, if you can, the old original lockdown that was imposed by our culture a long time ago. And we are chained in this consumer society, tortured, we and our children, if we can't get what we want when we want it. Hic et nunc, as the Latins say, here and now. Caged in this world of self-inflicted want, deprived of even the knowledge, much less the hope of heaven, we live in a perpetual lockdown. Man remains a prisoner, not first of all from the government, no. Not first of all from some rioting mob out there, no, but of self and of senses and of selfishness, and certainly Satan. How calmly to escape the chains. It is not too late to oppose the revolution. It is not too late to get out of your lockdown. Remember heaven, fear, hell. Love your children in the right way. It's a matter of good sense, of prayer, of course, prayer and the sacraments. And courage will come, and God's will be done by you and in you and in your home and on earth as it is in God's home in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.